B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest just got inducted to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Well worth it. A man that was beyond worthy of doing so. And that man's name is Jason Stark from The Athletic. And he's on with us right now. The Hall of Famer, Jason Stark. Jason, again, congratulations, man. What great speech, first and foremost. How was the whole week for you?
Mark, thank you. And as amazing as you might think that would be, it was way beyond anything I ever could have comprehended.
Really?
Yeah, you know, I'm not a guy who's ever get into this because I'm chasing awards. You know, I got into it, and I'm still doing it because I love it, and I always have. But I had an amazing experience. You know, I got some amazing memories, and I spent a week in the Magic Kingdom in Cooperstown, being treated like I was just the same as all those incredible players around me, which I am not. But from the moment that Wade Boggs came up to me on Thursday and said, "Welcome to the club,"
whoa,
that's how I was treated. And you know, you'll be shocked to hear that Jim Thome took really good care of me there. But you know, at one point, I was in a room looking around at who else was in the room. And Jim was right next to me, and I said to him, "Do you ever look at the room? Do you ever look in this room?" And he said, "Yeah, it's unbelievable." This is Jim Thome talking, right? And
yeah.
I said, "You know what, Jim? I'm having a hard time thinking I'm worthy of being in this room." And he said, "Oh, yes, you are. You've earned every bit of this. Your career, the person you are, the way you've done it. You totally belong here." And I said, "I appreciate you saying this, but I'm very aware of the fact that you have 600 more home runs than I do."
You know, I got to ask you this because I never heard the story before, but Dallas Green saying "bleep you, Jason." Why was he saying "bleep you, Jason"?
Yeah, good times. Good times. Yeah, in the speech, I had to do my greatest hits. That's certainly one of them. You know, I'm sure if you Google this, you can find out all about it. But I'll just try to sum it up by saying that, you know, I was the young guy in the group, but I had a good relationship with Dallas.
Okay.
And like, my role in the group was, when Dallas was in one of those moods, you know, I could usually ask him something or say something that would make him smile and lighten the mood, and we could all go on. So we're down there one night, and, you know, it was one of those deals where this was a time when post-game press conferences were not TV shows. Mm-hmm. It was just us in the manager's office, and we took one look. It was 11-3 loss. We took one look at Dallas, and, like, nobody wanted to ask anything. So I thought, well, I don't think anybody said a word for a minute, including him. So I thought, all right, here we go. So I tried to lighten the mood. He was not really in the mood for that night. So the first three words were "bleep you, Jason." The answer went on for 3 minutes. And as I mentioned in the speech, there are 42 words in there that you're not going to hear on my little phone. But the really cool part of it was, a few weeks later, he was trying to get me to do it again. And I knew something was going on, but I really didn't know what. So I said, you know, I've got one tape of this. I don't need a second one. So I don't know what you're up to. I'm out. Okay? And so he was, you know, he's very frustrated by my refusal to play along with him. And then somebody else in the room asked him a question, and he said, "Bleepity bleep, that's worse than that bleeping question Jason asked." And the guy said, "What question was that?" And then he had a big smile on his face. He opened his desk drawer, he went digging through his desk, and he pulled something out, and he threw it across his office at me. And I opened it up, it was a T-shirt. And it said, "Bleep you, Jason." And I still got it. That was a shock to my wife.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Now, was your wife from Baltimore?
She's from York.
York.
So York, you know, York is where Phillies fans and Orioles fans and even some Pirates fans converged.
So. Oh, I lived in New Freedom for like 3 years.
Oh, yeah, right? So you know all about it. So that's why I mentioned my mother-in-law, because she watches every Orioles game. Incredibly, she grew up in a house where her brother watched every Phillies game.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's crazy, man. No, it was awesome. And then, you know, back to your how surreal the moment was. You get done your speech and you go sit next to Brooks Robinson. Like, no big deal. Like, that's the company that you now keep, Jason. So again, congratulations. Yeah. And I know it's been insanely busy for you all week, but we do have the MLB trade deadline coming up. And we just asked a general question.
Back to work, Jace.
Sure.
Yeah. No,
bring me down off my cloud. It's fine.
Take your HOF hat off and let's go.
Oh, come on, Jason. I know how to end the interview. We're going to go right back to the speech. Don't you worry. But in the midst of it here, in the middle of the sandwich, we'll talk about this. Then we got the MLB trade deadline, and we asked a very general question. Are people confident that Matt Klentak will make a significant move? Now, significant would be a Robbie Ray. It would be adding somebody to the rotation that would be better than what you got. Shouldn't be that hard. So are people looking forward to having confidence in a significant move being made for the team? And it's 71% no right now.
Yeah. How are you defining significant?
I am defining it as Robbie Ray, having a starting pitcher in the rotation, whatever.
Bigger than Drew Smiley.
Correct. Right,
bigger than Mike Moran. I am not confident of that. You know, I didn't get to spend a lot of time in Cooperstown watching the Phillies, talking to people about the Phillies. There was a Phillies delegation there. You know, we spent some time chatting, and I think there's a lot of frustration. I think there are a lot of people questioning, you know, how big a price you should pay to make this season end in a wild card game or wherever it goes from there. But, you know, I do think, and I said this to you last week, that this is not necessarily a buy-sell question. This is a shopping opportunity. And I really do think, you know, they know that bet that they made on their rotation and the young pitchers in that rotation, that was the wrong call. And so they've got to fix that. You're not looking to just fix it for August and September. You're looking to fix it for August, September, and beyond. And those are the kind of guys you should be paying attention to. Matthew Boyd, who pitches against them tonight. Robbie Ray, to a point. I don't think they're in love with him, but, you know, how can you not look at him? Zach Greinke, Marcus Stroman. Anybody with control is on their shopping list. Trevor Bauer would be on their shopping list. How big a price they would be willing to pay for that guy is my question. And right now, they've all got a big price.
Do you look at a guy like Mickey Moniak, who has come around over the last couple of months in his minor league career? Do you look at him as a guy the Phillies still have great value in as a number one overall pick? Or do you think that he's a guy they dangle out there possibly for a trade?
For the right guy, I don't have any doubt that they would trade Mickey Moniak. Mm-hmm. Remember once upon a time when the Phillies made the Ken Giles deal and people were all excited that they got Mark Appel back?
Yes.
You know, why were they excited? Because that was once the number one pick in the whole draft. Mm-hmm. And Mickey Moniak is the perfect guy to throw into a deal so the other team can say, we had a guy who was once the number one pick in the draft. Hey, he's going to play in the big leagues, but is he going to be a star in the big leagues? I don't really know anybody in any organization who thinks that, but he's going to play in the big leagues. And so he's a very useful chip at a time like this or this winter or whenever that occasion might arise.
Jace, if they do go out and get a starting pitcher, and it's one of those more top-tier guys that you had just mentioned, where does that put the Phillies in your mind? Does it put them, okay, they can compete for a World Series, or does it just say, all right, maybe they can compete in one round of the playoffs?
You're talking about for 2019?
For 2019, yes.
Well, I mean, Bob, let me ask you. I mean, when you look at the Phillies, are they one starting pitcher away from being a World
Series? Yeah, not even close.
I think they know that. You know, one of my philosophies is you should never overreact to anything you've seen over a week or a couple weeks or a few weeks. But this has now gone on for 2 months,
mm-hmm.
the way they played. And, you know, I think they know now what they are and what they're not. If you know, to get into the wild card game, your reward is you get to play the Dodgers, right? And you've already used up Aaron Nola in the wild card game. And so I don't know that there's any one piece that changes that equation. Now, I do get a sense of excitement about what Bryce Harper's doing and the way he's looked over the last few weeks, and the idea that you might have MVP Bryce Harper over the next couple of months, which does change the offense to some degree, if that's what you get. But nevertheless, I think they're thinking big picture, not 2019, and that'll really show in the way they approach this deadline. It'll be, you know, take on money, use your ability to take on money, maybe to add depth here and there because you need to do that, but mostly target needs for beyond this year, because this window doesn't end if you don't make the playoffs this year. They're built for well beyond that.
Speaking with Jason Stark, Hall of Famer Jason Stark, and the last thing for you, Jason, I promised, and I'm going to do it right here. Go back to the speech. I'm going back to the speech. The stories you told were absolutely incredible, but the one that would just blew me away was how your, and you told us this actually last week, about how your mom would make sure that you read a good sports article if she found one that was well written and all that. But the other thing that was wild was your sister predicting your baseball career when you, fifth grade, was it?
Fifth grade.
That's incredible.
It's really mind-boggling to me to look back at this. The story I told in the speech was, I had this photo on my wall of my sister and I walking home from school. I was in fifth grade. She was in fourth grade. And, you know, we're pretty happy we survived the day of, like, massive arithmetic and stuff like that. But she wrote a composition for school that year, and then she framed it and she gave it to me along with a picture, and it says right on there, if you ever wanted to know a lot about baseball, you should ask my brother. And it hangs on the wall of my office, and so every time I go to walk out of my office, I see it there, and I can't help but look at it and think, how did this happen? Like, who gets to do what they always dreamed of doing? Who gets to live the life they dreamed of having when they're like 10 years old? That happened to me. Like, I never stop appreciating the fact that I've lived a fairy tale. I really have.
Jason, I got to tell you, I know you were a big fan of his, and you know him for a long time. Stan Hockman is a man that I looked up to for a long time. I'm not even a little bit of a writer. I'm terrible. But Stan tried giving me advice one time, and I remember him saying, fall in love with the English language, find a way to manipulate it to make yourself a better writer and make your point in your story. And I was thinking of those words as you were giving your speech at the Hall of Fame, man. I couldn't be happier for you.
I appreciate it. You know, I in a great piece that Bob Brookover wrote on it. On the Inquirer at Inquirer.com last week, I talked to him about Stan because when I was a kid, I would write to Stan. And for some reason, he would write back to me. Like, that kind of mentorship is just unbelievable. And I've always tried to do that because of the example that he set for me and what I knew that meant for me. Pay it forward. That's the motto. Just keep paying it forward.
Couldn't happen to a better guy. Jason Stark, thanks so much. Hall of Famer Jason Stark. We appreciate you coming on despite how busy a week you've had, my man.
Hey, great being with you guys. Thanks, man.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.